There is still no evidence Asian carp have made their way into the Great Lakes. We do, however, know they are close. It's going to take a mighty effort to keep them out of the Great Lakes, and failure to do so could have a tremendously negative impact on the health of the lakes, the larger ecosystem, and the economy of the Great Lakes states. As we enter the heart of the election year, it's a good time to assess the commitment among candidates to taking the necessary measures to protect those lakes. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU in our first Friday Focus on the Environment. My co-host for this monthly segment is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, our guest today.
Good morning, David. Our guest today is Andy Buxbaum, Regional Executive Director of the National Wildlife Federation's Great Lakes Office. Andy's been on the show many times before. Welcome back.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Thanks, David.
Thank you very much.
The National Wildlife Federation has been working for years on the issue of Asian carp. You've been instrumental in pushing for Great Lakes funding, for studies related to keeping the carp out of the lakes. I know the listeners of this show have been following this very closely. Where do we find ourselves now on this issue?
Well, it's a good news, bad news situation, as it often is with this topic, Lisa. As David pointed out, the good news is that there's no evidence that Asian carp have reached the Great Lakes in sufficient numbers so they can breed. That's the main concern. That is, isolated carp, of course, are bad enough. But the real concern is they reach the lakes in breeding populations, and you get critters that find each other and lay eggs, and then suddenly they colonize the Great Lakes, like which happened with zebra mussels. That's the nightmare scenario, and that's what we're trying to avoid. The bad news is we don't yet have a real permanent solution to this. We've been putting our fingers in the dike, trying to stop holes as they appear with these critters, but we don't have a permanent solution yet. We don't have, for example, the main permanent solution is we don't have a commitment or a plan to get a permanent barrier in the Chicago canals to stop these carp from getting into Lake Michigan. And that bad news situation could change because we're in a presidential election year. In a presidential election year, candidates oftentimes find themselves doing or committing to big things that they wouldn't otherwise. So the Obama administration, for example, has been good in the short-term efforts, but they've been reluctant to commit to this kind of long-term permanent solution.
But there's certainly pressure in his hometown state of Illinois to not create that division.
That's exactly right, and I think that's part of what's held him back. But again, it's a presidential election year, and a presidential election year, some states matter and some states don't. The states that matter in a presidential election year are Ohio and Michigan, particularly in our region. The states that don't are Illinois and Indiana. When I say they don't matter, what I mean is that Illinois is pretty certain to go Democratic and Indiana is pretty certain to go Republican, regardless of what they do on this issue or most other issues. But Ohio and Michigan are the swing states. And what voters want in Ohio and what voters want in Michigan is very important for what the national candidates decide to do. And we know, we have polling data, we have editorials, we know that voters in Michigan and voters in Ohio very strongly believe that Asian carp are a problem. There needs to be a permanent solution, and that solution needs to include dividing the Lake Michigan basin from the Mississippi basin with a permanent
barrier. That is not a universal opinion, though. There are those who believe that they can be stopped without that division.
There are those that believe that, primarily encouraged by the shipping industry in the Chicago area and the Indiana area.
Well, we recently had Tim Eder from the Great Lakes Commission on the show, and he spoke at great length about a new study that had been just recently released that indicated there were a number of different ways of dealing with this, almost all of which necessitated a permanent barrier. Can you speak to that a little bit and how that plays into this current 2012 presidential election?
Absolutely. What the Great Lakes Commission and Great Lakes Cities study showed was that it is economically feasible and technically feasible to actually build a barrier in those canals, that it won't damage the economy of the Chicago and Indiana areas. In fact, it could promote it and enhance it, and at the same time be a real insurance policy, a final solution for making sure that the carp don't move through the Chicago canals into Lake Michigan. So we're very strong on the policy. There may be those who believe that barrier is not necessary, but I think everybody agrees that there is a risk. Unless you put a significant barrier in those canals, there is a significant risk that Lake Michigan will be infested by carp. And it's a question of how much risk are you willing to tolerate. Most people say we have a $7 billion fishing industry in the Great Lakes. We have the Great Lakes are our source of drinking water. The Great Lakes are this precious resource that we can't afford to play Russian roulette with. And yet there are some who are willing to do that for short-term economic gains. So the policy piece, I think, is very strong in that there really does need to be that permanent barrier there. The commission study shows that that barrier is economically and technically feasible.
Does that include the Army Corps of Engineers? Because their study is not yet complete.
Right. The study that we're talking about now with the Great Lakes Commission is not a government-endorsed study. The government needs to do its own study to determine what it's going to do, what sorts of actions it will take in the Chicago canals and in the other potential connectors. That's the Army Corps of Engineers study that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the Army Corps of Engineers has been dragging their feet for 5 years in that study. One of the big breakthroughs we've already gotten in this election season is the Army Corps of Engineers has agreed to accelerate that study by about 2 years so that they will come out with a study by the end of December 2013, which is 2 years faster than they thought that they could get it done. We're unclear whether they'll actually have a complete study at that time. That's one of the concerns, is it has to be complete, so other agencies in Congress then have the justification to take action. But we've already seen them move. We've already seen the Obama administration move. I think the real question is, where is Mitt Romney on this? And that's, the Obama administration is very vulnerable on this issue in Ohio and in Michigan. And Mitt Romney is he knows the Great Lakes. He grew up in Michigan. Where is he on this issue?
So are you issuing a formal pledge or challenge to these two candidates?
Well, we have done that. Yes, we being a coalition of organizations called the Healing Our Waters Coalition. We have issued a pledge to asking both candidates to sign that would, number one, commit the candidates to Great Lakes restoration funding of at least $300 million a year forward. That's what the Great Lakes right now are getting as a result of President Obama's good work. I mean, that was his initiative, and we encouraged him at that. He made a pledge in 2008 to do that, and he kept that pledge. And that's historic funding for the Great Lakes, far greater than ever before, and he deserves credit for that, certainly. But the second piece of that pledge is to make sure that the candidates commit to separating a permanent barrier to separate the Mississippi River from Lake Michigan in the Chicago canals to stop the Asian carp. And so far, neither candidate has spoken to that. We think that at some point that the Romney campaign is going to wake up and realize that this is an issue the president is vulnerable on. And this is an issue that voters in Michigan and Ohio deeply care about. A Michigan poll, for example, that we commissioned, it was an Epic MRA poll, said that 70% of Michigan voters knew about, cared about Asian carp. And 60% of those were very, very concerned if they were about to get in the Great Lakes. And a strong plurality of those favored a permanent barrier in the Chicago canals to stop them. The men and white men particularly were the ones who most favor this, and those are kind of the part of the electorate that both candidates are seeking to win in these swing states. And in Ohio, we have similar polling information that just came out, so which we'll be releasing next week, actually. So this is, I don't know what they're waiting for. Politically, this is a smart thing to do.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. I'm sitting alongside the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Lisa Wozniak is co-host of our First Friday Focus on the Environment series, and our guest today is Andy Buxbaum. Andy is Regional Director of the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Wildlife Federation, and today we're talking about Asian carp.
So you've done a lot of work at the congressional level on this before you've actually issued this challenge or this pledge to the presidential candidates. Is there a bipartisan support within the Great Lakes region for this, and will that be an incentive for the presidential candidates to either get on board or to stay away from this?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
There is strong bipartisan support. In the Senate, there is a bill that's actually been introduced and moved through committee already, the Stop Asian Carp Act, which has been sponsored by a mix of Republicans and Democrats. Senator Portman, who's a Republican from Ohio, Senator Brown from Ohio, Senator Stabenow from Michigan, and Senator Levin from Michigan, just to give you a cross-section. In the House, this effort is being led by Congressman Camp, a Republican from Michigan, and with plenty of Democratic co-sponsors. So we actually expect that we're going to see this get through the House, and then we may also see something comparable to the Senate. The Stop Asian Carp Act speeds up the study, the Corps study, to a level that it speeds up the Corps study and requires the Corps to consider hydrologic separation, that is the separation, the permanent barrier between Lake Michigan and the Mississippi River Basin, to stop the carp. So we're seeing that kind of bipartisan support here, and we do hope that it will translate into support at the presidential level. It's not guaranteed, but given the political salience of this issue in Michigan and Ohio, given the fact that Senator Stabenow and Senator Brown are both up for re-election, this is something they're pushing out there, something that's important for their own re-elections. They understand this is important for Michigan voters and Ohio voters. I think you'll see it at the presidential level soon.
Will you also ask the senatorial and representative candidates of Great Lakes states to sign this pledge that they will try and push that through and put it on the president's desk?
We've asked them to help us with the pledge, yes. This is a presidential pledge, however, we wanted to keep the focus on the presidential candidates. We know that our own senators and representatives strongly support this barrier being built, so in Michigan and Ohio particularly. So we focused on the presidential candidates because they're the ones that hold the purse strings.
If we look back for a bit of perspective and we look at the potential impact of the Asian carp getting into the Great Lakes, we can go back to things you mentioned before, the zebra mussels, the sea lamprey. An analysis released earlier this week by the Nature Conservancy shows that power companies alone are spending $130 million a year removing these mussels from power plants. The report also says tourism and other industries lose $50 million a year in reduced demand because of these invasive species that we have in our lakes. So that is a tremendous amount of money on an annual basis, and, you know, that Pandora's box is open. It's not being closed again. So is this a perspective that you are using as a guide to the presidential candidates to perhaps say, you need to sign it because this is what will happen, except on an even larger scale?
Absolutely. David, you're absolutely right. The job and economic implications of this are almost as devastating as the ecological ones. I mean, Asian carp could be the worst infestation since zebra mussels, and in fact, they could be worse than zebra mussels. And for that reason, it's Great Lakes jobs, Great Lakes economy, as well as our quality of life that depends on keeping these things out of the Great Lakes. Remember, these fish eat up to 15 or 20% of their body weight every day. They scour the bottoms of any water body they're in. They eat all the microorganisms that supply other fish with food. They have taken over 95% of the fish biomass in parts of the Illinois River, meaning there's nothing there but Asian carp. So just as zebra mussels took over the bottoms, the sediments in the Great Lakes, Asian carp could take over the rest. And that would be a devastating blow to our $7 billion fishing industry, our $16 billion boating industry, our drinking water supplies, and our quality of life.
So you've indicated that you think that Mitt Romney will be more responsive to this than President Obama, despite the president's strong dedication to Great Lakes funding. He does come from the state of Illinois. Where does someone, say, like Rahm Emanuel stand on this, given that he comes out of the president's White House and now represents a very important part of the state of Illinois?
Well, first, let me clarify that I think both of these candidates should be equally responsible. The Obama administration has been focused on this. They have responded. They have been considering things. My question was, where is Mitt Romney on this? Because this is an opportunity that he's missing. I don't believe that either one of them has greater incentive than the other. They both have terrific incentives mm-hmm. to do what we think is the right thing here. In terms of some of the other major players, yes, Rahm Emanuel is very important. Rahm Emanuel was not only the chief of staff of the White House, but he was also the original architect of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, and he has been a Great Lakes champion. And he has moved, I believe he has moved the debate in the Chicago area considerably. When he took office, the debate was, the positioning in Chicago was pretty much everybody in Chicago was viewed against building this permanent barrier. And everybody else was saying, yeah, let's do it. I think now he's opened up the possibility that this barrier could be part of a larger renaissance for the whole Chicago waterway system and the Chicago River. He has a he's enlisted Senator Durbin, the senior senator from Chicago in this, as from Illinois in this as well. He has this vision that the city of Chicago will be healthier, more vibrant, more economically attractive if the river system, the Chicago River system, which right now is mostly a series of industrial canals, if that river system can be greened, if that river system becomes a destination for tourism, for swimming, for recreation. They're a long way from that, but I think he views this project, this barrier system, as a way of bringing in attention and federal dollars that he couldn't otherwise get to that project. And we support him in that because then it becomes a win-win.
Let's say, looking forward, that it is decided a barrier will be built. How long would it take that barrier